whole place was unbelievable tonight. Never experienced anything like it in my life for pre-season. Like a cup final, and it was brilliant. Yeah, this club is fantastic.
This story of FC Cincinnati just runs and runs.
Cincinnati, Ohio is officially granted the newest expansion club in Major League Soccer. Welcome, FC Cincinnati!
Evening, everybody. You ain't lying. Back again, Thursday night, post-match, pre-match, however you want to look at it. Myself, Nathan Hale, Mr. Buckridge, Mr. Buckridge, yes.
Buckridge. Adam,
Mr. Buckridge. Buckridge. Yes, yeah. That's not terrible. And Adam Wiegand with us. You know, I'll hit on the weather and then I'll hit on Travis. Muggy August day here in Cincinnati. It's that simple. Last night at the match, God, dude, I don't think I've sweated that much in a match just standing there in probably a year. Well, at least a year, because last year. But yeah, so I want to give a quick shout to Travis. Travis taking some time away from us, maybe indefinitely. That is up to him. He is coaching his daughter's soccer team for anybody that isn't on Twitter or involved with that or our Slack channel. And he's putting family first. So love it. I appreciate it. Ran into him at the match last night, had a good conversation. So he knows we support him. And if he ever wants to come back, that door is open. And he may still be involved on some level. I'm sure he's going to miss it. He did ask me last night if we were recording. And I kind of picked up on his tone, you know, like, oh, man, kind of wish I was there. So it is, you know, we love him. We miss him. And we will miss him. But wish him the best with his youth soccer coaching and how frustrating that could be. So we'll dive right into it, guys. How are you guys doing this evening? Steven, Mr. Buckage, if you will.
Mr. Buckage, my new name. We're talking about family. I do give Travis a lot of credit for taking care of the family first, because that's what we have at the end of the day. And I do feel for the poor refs that are reffing his daughter's team. Can you imagine Travis as the coach? Ooh, yeah. But no, Travis, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done to set up You Ain't Lying, you know, with Nate, and to welcome us in, to create this community that we call You Ain't Lying. None of this would happen without your passion, without your hustle, just without your big personality. And so you're always welcome. We will always be friends. We miss you already. But you got your priorities straight, buddy. So I appreciate that. And just, you're talking on family. I just, you know, back-to-back weeks of taking kids out to college. I'll talk a little bit more of that maybe later. But I was in Dallas 2 weeks ago dropping the oldest off, and in Oklahoma City a couple days ago dropping the youngest off. So family comes first, guys. And, you know, I missed a bit of the last two games, and you guys will take us through last night's game. But family is the most important when it comes down to it. And, Adam, I'm going to toss it to you because I know family comes first in your life too.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. My family would appreciate that. First to Travis, though, obviously, if it wasn't for him, a random middle-aged guy wouldn't be talking on the internets right now. So big thanks to him for everything that he created, all the guys and the girl in
girl.
Slack.
Our girl.
And, solid addition, by the way. But
oh. Solid. But yeah, you know, just big shout out to everybody in the community. I think it's a direct reflection of the passion that Travis had and, you know, everything that he has built. And it, you know, it had to be a difficult, I know it was a difficult decision for him, because walking away from something like that is tough. When you have something that you're passionate about, it's hard to let it go. But sometimes, you know, you got to take a step back and put some priorities in order. And I give him all the credit in the world of realizing that now was the time to do it and taking the steps to do it, because it would have been really easy to kind of ignore it and just try to keep going with it. But took a lot of pride in what he did, obviously, and wanted to make sure it was getting done the right way. And, you know, felt like he had to put his energy in other places. And I commend him for that. So on that note, though, we'll transition into why we are here, which is the game. So we'll start with just general reactions, I guess. Nate, we'll start with you. We were standing next to each other, but I'll let it tell you from your perspective first.
Yeah, man. You know, better but frustrating. You know, we could paint a silver lining for every 0-0 or 1-1 or 2-2 draw really throughout the year. You know, we could talk progress and hit on that and point fingers or whatever you want to do with that. But just as a overlying tone, I had a good time. I enjoyed the match. this team is still light years better than last year's team or the year before that. You know, at this point, I'm finding myself really appreciating the players more and their approach to the game in some cases. Matarita played a hell of a match last night, arguably the best player on the field, at least, you know, for last night. Cameron, same thing, bossing. You know, he beat the shit out of essentially two different players at two different times. Without even getting a foul or anything called, I love his ability to do that. Brenner looked the part again. Acosta, you know, pushed a little bit more than he should have, but that's kind of been his MO with lack of help in the midfield. And Madunian, man, I love, you know, I'll get the word moxie out real early, but I love Madunian's moxie, and he played well. So, I don't know, just as a whole, I enjoyed the night. I wish we would got a goal. We had a goal. We deserved a goal. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But, man, I had fun, and I continue to have fun. I'll continue to show up, win, lose, or draw. And, you know, again, later on in the pod, but, you know, my season ticket holder renewal, I answered that survey as honestly as possible. And then they came, would you renew? And it was like, you know, I guess, you know, in short, yes, no, maybe, or definitely yes. And I checked definitely yes, man. Like, I'm not bailing. I spent way too much damn time loving this team, putting my pride, heart, and soul into this team and my hard-earned dollars into this team to walk away now. So long-winded as always, but that's my reaction.
I like it. I like it. I'll get to you here in a sec, Steve, and I'll go ahead and follow Nate since, like I said, I was standing next to him. And, you know, once again, it was a great time. I look at these things as entertainment. That's what I'm there to be entertained. And, of course, I'd love to walk away with a W, and we'll talk about, you know, maybe ways that the team can make that happen and the frustrations that come with it not happening. But, you know, standing there screaming my head off for 90 minutes, standing next to my daughter and her boyfriend, and my son wasn't able to be there. So I was a little bummed. I'm not going to lie. He had to move in to college yesterday, so he wasn't able to make it to the game. And that's going to, you know, it's one, he'll be back for the Saturdays, so we'll be a group again. But in terms of the play on the field, I'm with you, Nate. I've become more invested in watching certain guys on the field and watching them develop. The defense as a whole, just watching the way that the transformation that it's made from the beginning of the year to this point, the additions of Viasia and Cameron and the effect that that's had on players like Matarita, or how they complement Matarita, how it's elevated Hagelin, how they've helped Kubo, quite honestly. So, you know, I'll get into more of the nuts and bolts of it here in a second. But, you know, initially, yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm always reminded of that scene from Rounders, if you guys have never seen that movie.
Great movie.
Probably one of the best roles ever played by John Malkovich, where he says, "I feel so unsatisfied." That's the way I walked away from that game. But you know what? I'd sit down at that table and I'd play that game again. Reference to the movie. So, I do it over and over again, and I'll keep doing it. So
the reality of it is, if you told me last night, hey, it's going to be a nil-nil draw, but you're going to get to go to the match, hang out with you yourself, Adam, a good buddy of mine I used to work with, you know, prior employer was behind us, and Brent, great guy. You know, I met some people post-match that, you know, I haven't had the pleasure of really just putting faces to names and that kind of thing. Yeah, dude, like, it's a successful damn night. I'll take that 7 out of 7 nights of the week. So that's a little addition to it. But, Steven, you have any thoughts? I know you were en route back to Cincinnati in the car listening to your favorite radio broadcast.
Absolutely. That's where I'll start is you guys were able to be at the game. And so were what? Well, I guess there's 21,000 sold tickets, not maybe 21,000 there. But, you know, I would have loved to be at that match last night, even knowing it was a no-no result, even knowing the outcome. I would have loved to have been there at the match. But again, family comes most important. And we left Oklahoma City as soon as we could, but we were still en route. And so I got to listen to my favorite, Tommy, on the radio. And I'm still confused at who has yellows, who doesn't has yellows. So if you listen to the broadcast at home or on the radio, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was like Oprah handing out yellows. You have a yellow. You have a yellow. No, he doesn't have it. No, I don't know who has a yellow. So that was very confusing to
Lucho had like a 20-minute yellow, then he didn't have a yellow.
Exactly. So it's hard to listen to FC Cincinnati on the radio. I'll leave it at that. You don't really get an idea. I'm driving. The phone, I'll be honest, I kept trying to take peeks, but also being safe on the road. So did not get to see much, except I did watch the 15-minute condensed version today that MLS puts out, and it was all Cincinnati. And so that's where I want to kind of hear more from you guys, because I look at the condensed version of the match. I did hear, you know, the commentary on the radio, and I look at stats, and I don't put too much into stats because you can take any number, any stat, and morph it into what you want it to be. But it seemed like we were definitely the better team last night and a bit unlucky, right? The Brenner goal you guys talked about that should have been a goal wasn't a goal. Let's talk about that VAR decision or non-VAR decision and the two crossbars.
I think right now, I mean, we talked a little bit off air, but the Brenner goal, why can't pro referees get this shit right? We've been burned legitimately probably 3 or 4 times this season where it has cost us a result, whether it's a point or whether it's 3 points, by just mediocre, thought process, reaction, whatever the hell it may be. It's like, God, this isn't that hard. Like, the generalized rule of thumb in that situation is you let the goal stand, then you put the flag up. And if that's the case, you take it to VAR, you review the video, you make a decision as it's there for, good or bad, whatever it may be, and you live with it. But this is at least the second time I know for sure that a goal has been allowed or hasn't been allowed that was a goal that they didn't even look at. And we had the penalty earlier in the year versus, I think it was, it was versus Montreal, wasn't it? I think earlier.
Yes.
When Mason Toy.
Yes, it was Mason Toy. Yeah.
Like, and he just flopped. He fucking kneed Vermeer in the forehead and it's a penalty. Like, no, dude, like you initiated that contact. Like, again, it's just frustrating. The ref, they said they may have reviewed it. Like, no, he didn't review it. He didn't run over to the monitor and look at it. Like, do your due diligence, especially when you're being paid to do so, and follow through. So that was frustrating. Cruz had a hell of a shot on a volley that he just smacked the shit out of. Hit dead center of the crossbar and bounced up. I mean, again, like, that's just unlucky. I know, yeah, it's not on target, but again, 3 to 4 inches lower, that ricochets off the bottom of the post into the bottom of the net, and it's a phenomenal goal. Lucho had a shot, same thing, kind of deked the keeper. The keeper was out probably 3-4 feet further than he should have been. Lucho takes a chance off the crossbar. We put, what, I think it was 17 shots?
Yep, 17. Yep,
17.
Yep. What, like eight?
Eight on goal.
To how many to Montreal?
They had eight targets. I mean, 8 shots total, none on goal.
Yeah. I mean, and they had a call called back for offsides too, but the guy was apparently yards offside. It was, you know, not even close. So, again, you look at the defense, you look at where they've come. I love watching Viasi. I love watching Cameron. You know, I'll see a striker or a winger try to go toe-to-toe with Viasi. I have yet to see any forward outrun him this year, which is crazy, right? He's a center back. He's a 6-foot-what center back. And he is in stride, beating him to the ball 80% of the time, and if not, at least enough to disrupt the play. You know, Cameron, his positional marking, his ability to get a foot in for a tackle without fouling somebody in the box consistently is amazing. Like, right, like those two guys alone, in a lot of ways, make the whole NICAMP project absolutely worth it. I'm not even talking about Brenner, Barrial, you know, Lucho, or any of the other guys. So, I don't know. It's just frustrating, right? There's a little bit of frustration in my voice and in my tone. We deserved 3 points last night. And I could say that about how many matches this year? 4 or 5 more? That we were the deserving team of 3 points. And if we get half of those, we are in the dead of the playoff hunt. And all these naysayers, all these burner accounts out there that are, this team sucks, this isn't good enough, fire them all, blow it up, whatever. They don't have a voice because we're exactly where we wanted to be this year. Not the stupid graph or, you know, drawing of the 5-year plan, But the reality of where we were at coming into this year, after last year, after a new head coach, roster turnover, missing on DPs, if we were in the hunt right now, you couldn't bitch. You'd be happy. You'd be even more ecstatic to show up for a damn match. So, again, it's more frustrating than anything. We can hit on Stom and his future here, you know, after we recap this game and look at New England this weekend. But that's my long-winded take. We were the better team. It was clear we were the better team versus a good team in the Eastern Conference. So
playoff team right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Victor Wanyama is a little bitch. If he ever fucking former Tottenham piece of shit ever looks at the Bailey again and does that hand gesture, I won't do it, but I will instigate somebody else to go on the field and fight him.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
I got a question for Adam. So Adam, unlucky versus Stom's ineptness at coaching or substitutions. Where do you fall on last night's lack of a win and just another draw?
Well, I have yet to see Jaap Stam kick a ball into the net or save a shot that's going into the net. So I'm not going to put it on him to say he's the reason the balls aren't going in. When you give up, and I'll go back to some of the stats just to make a point. When you give up possession the way we did, right? We only possessed the ball, I think the final count was 45% for us. So we gave Montreal a little bit more of the possession, but we doubled them in shots. You can't tell me that the offense isn't generating opportunities. It seemed like last night it was a little bit of a different setup. Some of that I think has to do with some of the injuries that we have. So we came out in a 3-5-2. I think that's the way that we wanted to play it, especially in the attacking side. Anytime we ceded possession and kind of sat back, we dropped into more of a 4-4-2. But that 3-5-2 coming out and putting Barrial out on the wing and trusting him and, you know, basically running that back three of Viasia, Cameron, and Hagelin, it worked. It seemed to work. To the extent that we were able to create those opportunities, it seemed like they were trying to do a lot more line splitting last night, balls over the top. I would imagine, and not being in the locker room, I would imagine that was a point of emphasis going into that game, because we really don't see a lot of long balls over the top, a lot of direct play out of this team. So when we had the opportunities to get in behind that defense, they took those shots. Honestly, Kubo, I mean, for all intents and purposes, had a forgettable game, especially distributing the ball, but he hung in there. He did the dirty work defensively. So, you know, and then a basketball analogy, you know, it's not going in, but you still got to play defense. And he did that. The formation, though, otherwise, to get to your question about whether it was unlucky or whether it was Stom, and, you know, subs or no subs, you put your best players out there on the field, and there will always be questions about, well, what ifs, because a lot of these guys are unknowns. But I didn't like the setup in the offensive end, and I think it has a lot to do with the players that we have. That Lucho, and I'll get into it a little bit more later, but the freedom that he has given is almost bogging us down on the offensive end, because we're just crowding out that midfield too much. And if we're not going to rely on service from the wings, which we have never relied on service from the wings, so we're trying to attack down the middle. And when you play as narrow as we were playing in the attacking third, and you crowd it out the way that Lucho does, it makes it difficult to get good looks, but we got enough of them. They just didn't go in. So I can't tell you if somebody, if Fellow coming on at the 60th minute as opposed to the 70th would have made any difference. You would think that if you had some fresher legs out there that it would bode well. But honestly, where you needed those legs, who you're going to take out Barrial to put somebody else in? I mean, yeah. Alvaro had a good game for what he was asked to do, playing basically a winger position, which is not what he wants. You know, it's not normally where he's going to be. You're not going to take Moderita out. He's one that can supply service. You don't have anyone behind Kubo or Cruz other than Velo, who came in for Cruz. And then you still have Harris out there. God love him. Roy Kent running around for ninety freaking minutes, right? For 90 freaking minutes, looking like he was mad at the world because he was
Bosnian Roy
so bad. Yes.
Now I can't get that out of my head.
I'm gonna tag his ass in that as soon as we're done doing that. That's perfect.
That is so good. I can picture him just like that too.
Yeah. I just remember Coach Nate saying, you know, you used to kick the ground like it had killed your dog or something, like you were mad at it. Like you were trying to just kill it. And I mean, we didn't even mention that he had a rip. He had a shot with his left.
Oh, he did. That was,
It really put the keeper, forced him to make a save. I don't know if it would have hit the crossbar or not, but I mean, it looked to me like it was going in, so you just don't have anybody to put in behind those guys right now. So we can bitch about subs and when you're talking about maybe some of these attacking players, I don't know. I mean, Brandon Vasquez is not the answer. I think that's the only criticism that I would have right now of the substitution pattern is put in anybody but Brandon Vasquez.
Well, we were talking about, man. We
go ahead.
Yeah, just short and sweet. We're like, we saw Kimi warming up, and it was Kimi and Velo warming up. Votto just hit a 3-run home run. Nice job, Joey Votto.
Love you, buddy.
Votto what?
Banks. He banks. Okay. But yeah, so from that standpoint, like Velo came in a little bit earlier. Estama subbed how late all year? Like, it's been a pain point for the club. Velo came in a little bit earlier. We saw Kimi warming up, and it's like, dude, put Kimi in there. Like, just at this point, let's see what happens. Again, Adam, Brandon Vasquez, all intents and purposes, is a good MLS player. Is he the answer in the 75th minute? Time and time again, it has been proven that he is not, at least not right now in his current form. So put somebody else in, man. Give somebody else some run, especially a young kid who's maybe takes, caution to the wind and you're going for three. Like, just do it. I think Stam, if anything, that's been his Achilles heel to an extent, is his conservativeness. And just maybe him not taking the risk. He knows the team.
Is it conservative or is it rigid?
It's Dutch. We talked about that on Slack today. It's Dutch.
He knows the team better than we all do, right? He sees them every day. Like, we're a bunch of idiots on a podcast. It's true.
Well said.
It's true. He gets it, but I just wish he would just, at some point just say, let's go. Like, all right, guys, go get the W. And Steven, I'm going long-winded again, but, after the red card, the last 15 minutes of the match, Montreal just bunkered down. Like, they were a man down, but the man missing was the striker. It doesn't matter.
And they subbed out one of their attacking players for another defensive midfielder,
too. That's my point, right?
Which is lost on everyone. They're like, oh, we're up a man. We should put on fresh legs.
No,
like,
we're not.
Fresh legs aren't going to – you can't outrun a low block. Beating a low block is about passing the ball effectively and fast, and we don't do that very well.
Anyway, Kubo.
That was going to be my question. Who's on the bench that was going to break down the low block when they're down 10, right down to 10?
The guys that are going to take a shot from, outside the box that do have a little bit of space, if you get it in a low block, which is a pain in the ass anyway, but it is, especially for a team that does lack is missing, honestly, one or two creative pieces in the attacking third to break down a low block. Like, that has been the MO all year. Like, that is why we have so many damn draws, because it's easy to get a road point versus us. Low block, make them have a moment of magic to beat us. And Lucho's done it a few times, but he's not going to do it every time because, as we said, he has a little bit too much freedom. He doesn't have his Wayne Rooney to draw the defense off of him. Brenner's not going to draw the defense at this point, at least not in that part of the field. So you simply don't have anybody that consistently can open that up and unlock that latter third of the pitch to create that moment of magic to get the W. Like, you're asking for three or four things to happen in a very short period of time that haven't happened all year for players that don't really – Brandon Vasquez isn't going to have the moment of magic. He is a poacher. He's a fox in the box. Vasquez isn't the guy that creates his own shot. Brenner, to an extent, he's gotten better. We're seeing signs that his confidence grows, but he's not a guy to create his own shot. Who creates their own shot? Barrial and Acosta. That's it. And maybe a Tonga if he's on the pitch, and we can hit on that in a minute, wherever he is, MIA. But there's two guys we have on the offensive side of the ball, and maybe Harris Madunian from midfield, but we just don't have that in our tool set, and teams know that, and good coaches know that. And we're playing a competitive team like Montreal, like Orlando, or whoever else. If it's close, just go to a low block, hit them on the counter if you've got all 11 men, and try to do it that way. It's
make
that
a mess
simple.
Of it.
Yep. It is that simple. Like, I just gave – that is the MO to beat or tie or draw FC Cincinnati. Low block, counter, done. Like, all right, it's Tuesday, guys. We're ready for the match on Saturday.
Well, it almost gets more difficult when they go down a man to a certain degree because they 100%
they have to low block.
You have to, right. So, yeah. Well, a couple of comments I just want to make is I'm the one thing I do get frustrated about this team this year are the stupid yellow cards we pick up. We are so undisciplined sometimes after the play, kicking the ball away, kicking the ball at people, the arguments. I don't know if I totaled the yellow cards up. I bet half of our yellow cards this year are based on dissent, stupid mistakes and dissent afterwards. And that's hurting us now, right? Because Cruz is going to be out tomorrow, or Saturday, excuse me. And we'll talk about the lineup here. But now, what? Lucho's one card away from being out.
I think Moderita is.
Moderita's one card from being out. And these are key individuals on this team. And it's not like Brenner got, unfortunately, I thought his yellow was cheap. He did not go into the keeper purposely, right? I mean, he was going for the ball and ran into the keeper. So, but the other guys, those aren't yellows you need to take. They just aren't. We do not take smart yellows most of the time, and it's going to rear its ugly head. And that's where I wanted to segue about even last night's roster. I know a lot of people are like, oh, is Velo going to start? We see Velo on wing. We're going to see him in the midfield. People need to remember Velo was out 10 weeks with a meniscus injury. Okay, they sent him down to the two team for Red Bulls, and he got one start back 4 or 5 weeks ago and played 60 minutes. Then he got one sub appearance for the Red Bulls before we picked him up at 12 minutes, and now he's at 20 minutes with us and two sub appearances. He's not match fit, guys. He's not. Stom's not going to put him out to start that match last night, and so that's why I think we saw the change in the formation there, because Vlo's not. He's we're going to see it. He got to what, 25 minutes last night. We may see 40, 45 minutes, maybe Saturday. We're gonna work him up, but I still wouldn't expect Velo to start.
Well, that issue may be forced with Cruz being out. I mean, that raises the questions for how.
He's got Stanko, right? But he's got that. That's the point, though. Is he going to risk Velo's return on a meniscus injury by playing by starting him for 45 minutes or 60 minutes on Saturday? That's where I think, and I want to get to Otanga because this is where I want to hit with this. I don't think Stom's back. I think he knows in his mind he's not back, and he's a player's coach. He's a player. He's going to look at these guys, whether it's Velo and his meniscus injury. He's going to look at Otanga, and I'm going to talk about this in a second. But is he going to really put Velo in a situation where he may not be ready to start 60 minutes in an MLS game if he's not going to be here? No.
He hasn't done it all year, man. He hasn't done it with Bococho. He hasn't done it with any player that has had a knock. You know, I'm not going to say his weird term that he uses, but any player, any player that has had a knock, he has been – cautious
because he's a former player, and I think with Velo he's going to be conservative just because he's coming back from a 10-week meniscus injury, and that's what's kind of a segue into Otanga, because all of us, where's Otanga? What happened to Otanga? Is he in the doghouse? Did he do something wrong? And I don't know. This is just me talking, and we're going back and forth on Slack today. You know, Otanga didn't get a break. He came over from Europe. From what, Sweden he came from, or Denmark?
Yeah.
Sweden, right?
Sweden.
He didn't play a full season, but he was coming off a European season.
He was in the 18 every match.
Every match. Okay, so he did not get a break when he came over here. Again, put it in the perspective, whether Stom's back or not, but put it in the perspective of, you know what, we're not going to make the playoffs, and maybe Stom not being back is thinking, you know, this kid just needs some rest. He just turned 21, same birthday as me. Back in June, same birth date, I should say. But, you know, Otanga has not had a break. Are they going to run him into the ground? So, you know, some of this, Velo not starting last night, Velo potentially not starting on Saturday, Otanga not getting some minutes recently, that could be on purpose. Not because he's in the doghouse, not because whatever else. And it also could be, hey, you know, son, I want you to watch. Just watch what I'm trying to get achieved here, what the game plan is, what we're trying to accomplish out there. You're 20, now 21 years old. I want you to understand the rhythm, what we're trying to do. He is a long-term project for us, Atanga, Isaac is. He is not a come in. I mean, people get all excited, and we should be. Barrial has come in and exceeded expectations. Viacia has come in and exceeded expectations. But U22s, when they come in, they don't all, they're what, hit or miss? Probably less than 50% are hits.
Yeah.
And I really think this is a purposeful, let's manage his minutes. Let's manage the wear and tear on his body. Because whether you put Atanga out there for 45 or 60 minutes, is that going to make a difference when it comes to the playoff push or not? I don't know.
Probably not.
Right. And so I do think it's strategic in what we're doing with Atanga.
I could see him coming on for the last 15 minutes. Like I could see that because I don't think you're going to burn him out too much doing that. I'll be honest, I'd rather have him than Vasquez at this point. Try something different, mix it up, play a false nine, you know, drop Brenner back and do what you can. But Adam, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to comment on Steven's point. And, you know, it's interesting. And a lot of it goes back to just the shroud of secrecy. And if that's the way Stom wants to play it, that's his prerogative. He's the coach. He can determine what news gets out there and what doesn't. So we're left to our own devices to try to figure out why a player is playing or not playing. And are they hurt? Are they not hurt? And then, you know, it just becomes is he in a doghouse? Well, he very well could just be tired. But Stom's not going to come out and say, look, the player's tired, I'm giving him a break. Whether there's something strategically to be gained by not letting the opposition know that somebody could or couldn't play based on their health, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions. So people will automatically assume that it's something bad, that, you know, the player is either has done something wrong and is in the doghouse, because we've seen that with Alan Cruz in the past. Or is it just, you know, to your point, Steven, is it just like this is the way he's managing minutes? Just because he doesn't rotate these guys during the games and sub at the 60th, 70th minute, maybe he gives them a run of, you know, 4, 5, 6 games off and says, okay, now I need you again. You need to be my workhorse again. To what Nate said, he's a player's coach. He understands a player's mentality. He played, albeit in a different era. But I'll also argue that the players today are more capable of going 90 minutes because they're in better shape and their fitness is monitored so much closely. There's a reason they run around with those sports bras on. You know, they every step
my,
they
my
take.
My wife hates those things, by the way.
But from a
physical preparedness standpoint and for the medical staff to help them with their recovery, I mean, everything is biometrics. So if a player's getting run down, it's going to show up. So all the guys that are sitting there and you know, eventually it's going to come out that one of these players is going to get hurt and it's going to be all blamed on the fact that Stom didn't sub them. And we may never know if that's what it is. But, you know, to his credit, he's also making decisions based on the amount of break we've had before games and when the next games are coming. And I know Twellman put something out there last night about, oh, you know, it's 90 degrees and it's a midday and he's not rotating. What the hell's going on kind of thing. But at the same time, Yap's trying to win games. And you put who you think gives you the best chance to win those games out there. And that's the money that he gets paid for. And that's ultimately the person that has to answer it. So that being the case, let's talk about the next one. So
I want to say something real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. Like, to think as much heat as Stom has taken, the dude is a type competitor till forever, right? The dude is as competitive as they get. Like, you can never argue that statement. To think that he is going out there and the way he is coaching, building this roster or managing this roster without getting 3 points or a result, to think anything other than that is just asinine. That is like the craziest thing you could possibly say about Yap Stom is he doesn't want to win. So just something to say, just something to think about. But yeah, transition us into the Saturday match at New England, Adam.
Yep. So our gift this Saturday is the New England Revolution. They of 46 points and top of the Eastern Conference. Although they have played 3 more games than us. So if we would play our 3 games and win them all, we would be sitting on 26 and they would be on 46 points. So that's a not going to happen probably, but it just shows you how much they have dominated this year. 14 wins, only 3 losses. stupid 15 goal, I think, goal differential. They are firing on all cylinders. So, Steven, why don't you start? Kind of give me your expectations. You can talk a little bit about maybe who you expect to see on the field because of the Cruz suspension. Why don't you give us your initial thoughts on what is sure to be a victory for the orange and blue on Saturday?
Well, probability-wise, we have a better chance of winning at New England than we do at the Tickle. So let's start there. Probability-wise, this year, we have a better chance on the road because of the curse at the Tickle. But, yeah, New England's going to be tough, right? As you mentioned, 46 points. They're leading the Supporters' Shield. They haven't lost in 8 matches. They won 7 of the last 8. They're firing on all cylinders. And the last 4 or 5 games has been without their dynamic 10, without Carlos Hill, right? So I don't think he's going to be back. I'm not sure if he's going to be back on Saturday, but it's not like they're playing, you know, rotten without him. They're still, you know, winning the games that they need to. And it's fascinating because one of my least favorite players, just from when he played here earlier this season, Tejan Buchanan, the Canadian national, who's going to be on his way to Europe here soon. He's having a phenomenal run since the Gold Cup and since he's returning. And so I, you know, watch him very carefully. He did very well when they played us at home, you know, back in earlier this year, back in May or June. And he is just on a phenomenal run. So, but, you know, thinking about what FC Cincinnati is going to go up there and do, I don't know. Maybe it's the mindset of being away from the Tickle. Maybe it's the less pressure of being away. I'm not quite sure what it is that's working on the road, whether they get away the day before and they're as a team and they have no, you know, outside stuff that they're thinking about. But, you know, chances are we could draw this game based on recent connections, recent history. And the thing that worries me, though, is what is that lineup, as you mentioned, Adam, without Cruz, with Cruz's yellow card suspension. I don't think Velo starts. I really don't, just because of, again, Stom being very careful to make sure his knee's okay and working him up into a 45-minute or 60-minute type rotation. What does that mean? Well, you can look at the numbers. Look who's on the bench. Is he going to start Camo or is he going to start Stanko? So I would expect that we're going to see, you know, a combination of you know, a similar lineup where potentially we got a 3-5-2, you know, with the two wing backs, and we got both Brenner and Acosta up front. And who's going to join Kubo and Harris, our new Roy Kent, the Roy Kent who grunts from Bosnia? I can't get that out of my head now. Thanks, guys. It's going to be Stanko or it's going to be Camo. I don't think it'll be Camo because I don't think the guy is healthy enough to go 60 minutes. Nate?
That would be my ask or concern is, you know, is Mococho, they need to ultimately say, like, if Mococho can't go because of his Achilles and just if he ever comes back from that injury, then just say it, man. Like, pull the Band-Aid off. It is what it is. The fan base knows. The front office knows. The coaching staff knows. Like, it is not new information at this point. But if Camo can, this might be a game where, like, hey, man, can you give me 45 minutes? Give me a solid half. Do you feel up to that? And then at halftime, depending on where we're at, Velo comes in. You know, that may work. Or Stanko, right? You just sub at halftime, which is probably not going to happen because Stom doesn't do that. But I'm just thinking aloud. But odds are, the problem is Kubo just didn't have it offensively. He hasn't had it offensively all year. You know, I think Queen City War Pigs likened Kubo to the creative player who, when you moved him to defense, he lost all of his offensive skills. and it's sad but kind of true, man. Like, just to hit on the match last night, like, he had probably 4 or 5 solid opportunities to play the ball forward, and he just didn't have it. Whether
he was also the guy that played the ball through to Brenner.
He was. So, because that's the one. Okay, so yeah. That's fair. Okay, that's fair. And I'll own that. Like, that's fair. So it's going to be Kubo. He's going to start. We know that. And he's been a little more tactful. Well, he did get a yellow, but he's been a little more tactful with his cards and where he's been. But I would guess it's going to be Stanko, all intents and purposes. I just don't see how it's not. Or does Stanko play center back and you move, you know, Viasia up to that role, which he's played in the past, or Cameron for that matter. Cameron.
Yeah,
they've both played they both played that role. I mean, you could do that, make that easy switch and not skip a beat. Or do you see Vanderwerf play? Right. He could be center back, and then you move. That might be it. And you move Viasia to the six. I would put Viasia there before I put Cameron, because Cameron's your leader on the defense. But that could very well work. I don't hate that. Viasia at the six, Kubo at the eight. And then, you know, you kind of figure it out from there. So either way, it's going to be interesting. Goal, it's funny. Like, we get a draw last night, the world is ending. You get a draw Saturday, that's good. So it's just goofy. I don't know. We can hit on predictions when we're done kind of talking through it, but I'm not fearful going into the match. We could lose 3-1 and I might not be mad. You know what I mean? It's New England. They're damn good, even without Heal. And Buchanan, to your point, Stephen, has been on fire, a man possessed, and continuing just to have result after result. So good old Bruce Arena, the one that got away. Anybody knows that story, but yeah.
And Jeff Cameron's favorite buddy, right?
Oh, that's a very valid point, too. Yeah. So, Adam, you got anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I'm actually looking forward. It's a shame about Cruz not being available, because I was actually very intrigued to see what that lineup, basically the same lineup that we rolled out for this game. Because I think we're all pretty safely under the assumption that Joe Zhao is not going to be healthy. But again, you know, it'll be interesting to watch Pat and Laurel's updates from training to see if either one of them move over with the main group, or, you know, kind of just continue to do their work on the side, or if they're even on the field. But I would have liked to have seen, as a measuring stick of our quote unquote progress, what we can do against a team that really is the class of, if not the Eastern Conference, all of MLS. I mean, we did ourselves proud, probably should have won, at least should have tied, right? Because wasn't it a 1-0 loss?
Yeah,
the last time we played them. But now that Cruz isn't going to be there, you know, the area where we have the most problems just had a wrench thrown into it. So I kind of expect us to roll out the old 1-8-2, take every defensive player. Well, what we're going to end up doing, and I don't think Stam will do it. I don't. But the smart play would be to muck it up and try and get that point on the road, basically come out in that low block and say, go ahead and try and break us down. And if we can free Lucho and Brenner on a counterattack, so be it. But, you know, the reality is it's probably going to be Stanko. I agree. But then again, you're also asking Harris to play 90 more minutes 4 days later, 3 days later. So whether he can go another 90 will be a question. Do you have Camo as somebody that you can bring in? So not a lot of options. And this isn't the time where you start experimenting, unless you go down a couple goals and say, fuck it, let's just go ahead and put some of these players on that, you know, haven't had a chance. Let's go ahead and do it when we know we're not going to get this result. Because I think part of the issue with Stam's substitution pattern so far has been we've been chasing results every game, meaning we've been in every game. So that's mine. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching New England play, but I'm also looking forward to watching how we handle them, especially on the defensive side, where without a doubt we have made our biggest, made our biggest strides this year. So we can jump into predictions. Nate, I'll start with you.
I'll say one thing to pay attention Saturday. Look at the crowd in New England on Saturday versus the crowd we had last night on a midweek game before school starts, so on and so forth. You want to talk about a club searching for its fan base, the Revolution's kind of right there. But from a prediction standpoint, probably 1-0 loss, maybe 2-0 loss. You know, I have predicted either a draw or a win, I think, pretty much all year. And I'm 0 for however many. So I'm going to be very honest and very, very candid in the sense that they are the better team, even without their star player. And, you know, I could see us bunkering down to your point. And even at that, like, teams can break us down. We still make mistakes. Do we get punished? And do we have Vermeer in goal? I think that may play into it a little bit, even though TT played very well last night. So I'll go 1-0 loss, and I'll get Steven's thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love for it to be a draw. Like you mentioned, Nate, it's funny because draws at home, we get you're very upset. And yeah, it'd be great to hold those goal advantages, two goal advantages we've had at home, and then we feel like it's a loss when it's a draw. A draw at New England, they're 8-1-1. At home at Foxborough, nobody gets to see it. Like you said, a tree could fall in Foxborough, you would never hear the sound. So I just it's very difficult for me to think we're going to go in there and be able to grab a result. They are they are well coached by Bruce. They understand their individual roles. They are wonderful at putting services in the box and getting opportunities after opportunities. They're very quick on their counterattacks. Folks like Tejan Buchan, who we've already talked about. Their set pieces are great. They're strong on the wings, strong in set pieces. They create scoring chances. I just think they are a solid team through and through. And going up there, leaving tomorrow, playing, I guess, is it a Sunday game or a Saturday game? I'm trying to remember what the
Saturday night.
It's Saturday. That's Saturday, what I thought. Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a 1-0 or 2-1 loss. I think it will be a good challenge. I think we will look up to it, but I just think they've got too much and we'll come out either 1-0 or 2-1 against us.
Fair. I've got us at 3-0 or 3-1. I think we go down. Again, I just don't know how long we can bend and not break. And honestly, with the form that they're in, scoring goals the way that they are, momentum is a fickle thing without a doubt, but if you've got it, man, it's great to be riding that high. And I mean, they have looked unbeatable, which is exactly why we will probably go in and win. Right. Because it's so against the grain. I mean, and that's MLS too. If we walked away 1-1, I would be like, well, I mean, I'm shocked, but
What if we go in there for argument's sake, since you bring it up, and we get a result? What if we get a 3-1 win or a 2-1 win or a 2-0 win?
What I mean, if we tie or win, we should be extremely happy.
Due to the fan base and the Stom out in the, and that's all probably going to happen anyway. That's probably the foregone conclusion. But what is the fan base who's so pessimistic after just all these draws, some of us included? What do you have to say about that? That's a window you could climb through. So I was just thinking out loud.
I hope we have that issue.
Me too.
Come Saturday night and Sunday morning, right?
Right. And to those people that have been hollering for change and, have been sitting there screaming at the clouds saying, do something, do something. The club did something. They did fire their GM. So that change has been made. So maybe sometimes it's you want change, but you want the change that you want. And if you don't get the change that you want, then you don't like the change. But anyway, so the club has made the change, Stephen. Do we have anything, or where do we feel the club is either in the search for that replacement, and how quickly do you think that will be resolved?
Yeah, it's a great way to segue and start it. Let's not ask for change just for change. It's already happening. It's going to continue to happen. I use Toronto. I've used them in the past. Toronto not being happy with Vanny, wanting Vanny out. Now look at what he's doing at Galaxy, and look where Toronto is. Right. Yep. There's only two clubs beneath us right now in the wooden spoon race, and Toronto is one of them. So you don't seek changes to seek change. I think we're all in agreement that with the poor window we had here this summer, it was time for Gerard to go, and they made that move. A lot's been written about it was mutual separation or mutual agreement. I have my doubts on that. I think it was a mark of you need to do this summer. It didn't happen, and it was time to go. Now, with that said, everyone's like, well, Stom needs to go now. He needs to go too now, and change is going to continue to happen. What we know and what we've been told, and if you follow us in Slack, we've been talking about this for the last 10 days since this all started to happen. They are looking at a structural change within the organization, which is great. They should be. They got rid of Gerard. They've had two GMs now, right? Jeff was the first GM. Didn't go so well. Gerard came in, steep learning curve, didn't know the MLS process and rules, made some good deals, didn't make some good deals. Okay, but it was time for him to go. So now we've got the chance to right the ship again. Well, the first thing that they need to do is our current system that we've got our president, our GM, our coach, and then the academy level beneath that. Is that the current structure we want to do? And that's what's in question right now. And so they are talking with consultants. They are talking organizational structure. They're looking at whether it's going to be a director of soccer operations that has a technical director, sporting director, whatever you want to call it. It's got different names, different places. Sporting director is kind of what they call it over in Europe. So it may be that or technical director. But you picture a potential director of soccer operations that is 100% in charge of everything soccer related. Underneath that director of soccer operations, you could have a sporting director and you could have the head coach. And then things that flow down, first team, academy, and more coordination between the academy and the first team, the second team, et cetera. That is under discussion. Whether they go that route or not, we've not had confirmation. You know, obviously the Dennis DeClosa rumor came out last week. It was too early. His agent has come out and said that was false. Don't know where that came from. I think there's still a couple weeks left in the structural discussions before they start looking at a population of candidate list. And so I do anticipate it's going to be a change in how we look at things. And the word GM, general manager, is a very U.S. word. You may not see a direct swap of a GM for a new GM. We may see a new director of soccer operations. We may see somebody that's inside the organization already, or a new person being that technical sporting director. And I do believe we're going to see a new head coach. And I don't think it's us telling Stom he's going. I think Stom may be telling us in the same time, I'm out the door. So that's kind of what we've heard behind the scenes. That's where it is today. We don't know names. Just a lot of structural discussion going on. Nate, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the standpoint, right, we talk about root causes. I know Birding takes, even today, man, like still takes a lot of heat. And I am not an apologist for him, but I do think he has moved begrudgingly more to the actual president's role and getting away from building the team, unless he, you know, he's the last man standing, which in this case, it's him and Hunter Freeman and Stom. But to that standpoint, I would absolutely welcome a new structure in the sense that, like, you cannot continue to do the same thing and expect different results. So
what's that called?
Insanity.
Thank you.
Right? Albert Einstein. So from that standpoint, you bring in, you know, a director, you know,
president, director, whatever, probably president of soccer operations.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But president of soccer operations, director, whatever, technical director. But it gives, I am more bought into the mindset of more smart and good soccer minds are better than less. You know, also it was Nykamp pulling the strings, right? And if Nykamp missed, he missed. If he hit, he hit. But who else was influencing that? Hunter Freeman and Stom to an extent, right? But before Stom, who was it? So from that standpoint, yeah, give me an organizational change. Bring me in two smart, maybe completely different soccer minds. Let them figure it out. Now, there's some headaches. You bring enough A-type personalities, enough alphas into a room, you're going to get very, very differing opinions, and you're going to get a headache. Case in example, in the Bailey on a weekly basis. But
boom.
But from that standpoint, yeah, do it.
How about that flag last night? Oh,
yeah, very large flag. It's the Bailey, man. That's part of it. I know there's some frustration, but it's part of it. It is what it is. From that standpoint, too, though, but just transitioning back to the search. I too genuinely believe that Stom is not here next year. Whether it's, I think you're going to see the same thing Nykamp said or saw. It's a mutual agreement to part ways. You know, he's out, you move on, and it's not a bad thing, man. I think we've improved under Stom. We've gotten better. We've created some of an identity that's not yet complete. And I'm talking like he's gone. And if he's here next year, I'll have my hesitations. But I want to see who's the technical director. I want to see who the general manager is, if that's the case, and kind of go from there. Names, I'm not going to try to throw out anything. There's some very talented names out there in MLS and in the world's game. It's a very deep pool. I don't know. I trust our ownership who will spend. We know that much definitively between Meg and Uncle Carl. They will spend. I still think they give a shit. I don't think they're just, you know, raking in the season ticket sales and that and this and the other. They care. It's in their personality. It's the same thing I said about Stom. Carl Linder does not like to lose. That family hasn't lost in, what, 80 years? This isn't supposed to be the mark that breaks the camel's back. So from that standpoint, they're going to do their absolute best to find the right fit with experience in the league on some way or another, with experience in an international game, and kind of take it from there. So that's my thoughts. My hope is it's in the next 30 to 45 days to let them review the team that we have, look at the players we have. Who do we want to keep? Who do we want to build around? Is there anybody we want to renew contracts for next year for the ones that are expiring? Or anybody want to try to offload this winter? So that's my hope. But until then, game at a time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think you brought up a good point too about ownership. You know, this is probably the single most important hire they've made since John Harkes. Right? I mean, this is going to set the tone for the club. They've hopefully had the time to learn from their mistakes. They've kind of had a lay of the land. I would much rather like it to be sooner than later, because I want that person to have the opportunity to evaluate who we have, because we are going to have some roster turnover, not as much, I think, as we would like. But if somebody comes in and is smart enough and can work the mechanisms the right way, we could see even more of a turnover. You know, potentially you might be able to offload some of these players that still have time left on their contracts. So I would like for it to be soon, but I don't expect it to be. To your point, Nate, I'm still thinking it's probably a mid-October, maybe, kind of. Where are we at? We're in mid-August, so maybe by end of September. I think by middle of September, we should probably have a pretty good idea of who it is. Now, you know, if they go and announce it tomorrow, you know, I'm sure we'll dissect and get into who that is and what their credentials are. But I'm looking forward to there being an organizational change. I think that's a foregone conclusion. I don't think that there's anyone at that Mercy Health Center that could look at the way that things are shaped right now and say that it's working. So hopefully a more modernized front office with more of a focus on smart football minds is the way to go. And I'm just, you know, if that means Stom stays, he stays. I'm with you, Nate, on that. Like, I'll kind of raise my eyebrow on it a little bit. If they do mutually part, it's not going to be a surprise to anybody. But again, the next guy isn't always the right guy. So sometimes the bird in the hand is worth, you know, the two in the bush, so to speak. So with that, it has been quite a while, hasn't it? So we are going to get into rants.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You're killing me, Smalls!
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. God have mercy on your soul.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
And Steven. What do you think about? What do you think about starting? We'll go Steven.
I'll go, yeah.
And then Nate, you wanna bat third this? You wanna
That's
be
fine.
Okay, I'll go in the middle then. So Steven, why don't you lead us off?
Sounds good. So mine's really based on perspective. Obviously they're and ours may be very similar tonight. We'll see. But mine's really, you know, again, based on perspective. We talked about Travis at the beginning of the podcast and really taking some time off, focusing on his family. My perspective, the last 2 weeks, dropping two daughters off at college, being home tonight without them in the house, watching them chart new courses in different towns. One's 14 hours away, one's 12 hours away. And I just, maybe it's because I was separated the last 2 weeks and watching a little bit from afar and not at the stadium, but what are we doing? I don't understand the reactions. You know, and I'm mainly on Twitter and not on, you know, Discord or God forbid, never on Facebook. But, what are we doing, people? I mean, if you're this angry about a football team, about a soccer team, about any sport, if you're this angry that you're calling out local media members, you're calling out staff members of the club and just kind of tearing them apart. What are we doing to use what, you know, Twelman's kind of rant? What are we doing? And so, you know, I think we all should step back a minute. Yes, we're not getting the results we want. No, the club in this third year is still, you know, bottom of the rung of bottom tier of this league. We fired the GM. We are making changes. They are trying to make changes. And I'm like, Nate, I mean, I could go on and on and on about how we're the worst run organization in the league, but it doesn't give you any right to go on any one of these social media platforms and belittle media members or belittle staff members that are working their tail off, working 70, 80 hours a week for this club and giving us great content during the week. The perspective, folks, if you're this angry, if you're tweeting out so much anger and hatred towards this team and this and the people that follow and present content, it just encourage you to step back, maybe take a walk around. I don't know if you got kids, maybe they're away, maybe they're not gone away, but I just really would encourage you to take a walk in the park and gain some perspective. It's not worth, you're going to tear your own life apart. You're going to tear your own nerves and stress. That hurts you. It doesn't hurt the team in the end. And I guess it's my perspective rant tonight.
Fair. I'm going to follow that by pointing out today that the people of Austin FC deserve better. They feel that they're already clamoring for that they deserve better than what they're getting out of their team right now. And that made me smile a little bit because misery loves company.
Oh, I drove through Missouri, all of it last night.
I was saying misery or Missouri loves company.
Sure.
It all does. So I don't have a long rant, but I do have a few things that I want to talk about. And then I have a rant, but I'll keep it short. The first is we talked about this a little bit before the podcast, and I think Nate might have alluded to it as well. After the game, met a couple of Twitter people in the Bailey and loved it. I think the one thing that bonds us together in this arena, right, or around this team is our passion for it. So I loved getting to shake hands with some handles. You know, I can't throw stones because mine is Baron von Steinhuis. It's not my name, but my name's Adam Wiegand, if you're looking.
But you are the Baron, so that's okay. Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes it's hard to know a person behind their Twitter handle, and it gets a lot more real when you're face to face with them and talking to them. So I appreciate that. I appreciated the conversation that I had with both the guys that I talked to after the game. We don't agree on everything, and that's okay, because you can stand there and have that very loud conversation with a very confused gentleman in between you, and still walk away respecting each other. And that's what it was. The second is to kind of echo something that you spent a lot of time talking about, Steven, and that is just leave the reporters alone, leave the people that run the club alone. Reporters report facts. They put quotes in papers. If you want to, there is nobody for this club that is PDOC, and thank God. You know, if you want a columnist, that's what Twitter's for. Go put your thoughts out there. The reporter's job is to give you the facts and let you form your own opinion. So you don't need to look for somebody to give you the opinion or to affirm the opinion that you think you have. That's just not the way to do it, right? Respect the work that the people put in, take the content that they give you, and just take the content that they're giving you and form your own opinion, which then brings me to my rant. And I purposely made you go first, Steven, so that you couldn't cut me off on this. Yeah, I'm well, setting it.
I'll let Nate and his dogs cut you off here in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Go on.
So here it is. I'm just going to say, not all captains are created equal, and it is time for us to change captains at this club. There was a time where, when this roster was put together, the easy thing to do was to give the best player on the field the armband. And so the armband was given to Lucho because he was the best player on the field. And he still may be the best player on the field, but he is not the best captain on the field. The captain is the one that keeps the team together. The captain is the one that sets the direction and sets the attitude for this club. And there has been no player to change the attitude in the feel around this club more than my man, Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron was a captain at QPR. He should be the captain at FCC. He never takes a play off, which Lucho does. He never lets his frustration get the better of him, which Lucho does on a every game occurrence. His body language is never throwing his hands up in the air. He's there to help. He's there to mentor. He is the glue of this club. He is the guy that needs to have the armband. And I believe that taking the armband away from Lucho is the best thing that we can do, because quite honestly, he needs to be reined in. He has too much freedom on the field. He answers to nobody because he's the captain. There are times where he bogs us down because he has to be on the ball. Nobody should be receiving a pass 2 feet from somebody else. We don't play that ticky-tack style. If we did, we'd have different players on the field. That's just not, and that style is not going to work in a physical league like MLS anyway. He's too cute sometimes. He's disinterested a lot of times, and he's brilliant other times. I take nothing away from his skill, but he does not deserve to be the captain. And the last thing I'll say about it is something that Steven even talked about in the beginning, because I know Lucho is Steven's guy. Lucho took an unforgivable yellow card for kicking a ball into the stands. Now, who kicked a ball into the stands earlier this year and got a yellow for it? Alvaro Barrial. He is very influential, especially over the players from South America. Guys like Brenner, guys like Barrial, guys maybe to some degree like Viasia. But look at the difference between Viasia, who stands next to Cameron in the way that he carries himself and conducts his business, versus the guys that are surrounded by Lucho. I love having him. He was the answer to our 10, at least right now. But Cameron should be the captain. That's it.
Hear, hear. And I am a Lucho guy, but I 110% agree with you, Adam.
Yay!
He's the captain without being the captain, but it wouldn't. I would support him wearing the band.
100%.
So, my rant. I have two things. Just a matter of how spicy you want to get. So I'll let you guys pick. Steven, pick a scale of 1 to 10.
On spice level?
Yes.
Oh, Thai food, I'm going a 7 all day long.
Adam, I know this answer.
I mean, I'm just gonna tell the chef to get me what he would cook for his family.
All right. Well, that's not a number, so give me a number.
give me a 10.
All right.
You know I'm not gonna pick anything less than
I said it. So here's the reality, and this is 100% my opinion. But maybe I should say something, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. FC Cincinnati was built by the fan base from the core. We wouldn't be where we're at without our fans, without our supporters groups, without myself and people like me, like Adam, like my buddy Brent, who was there last night, Will Hughes, who's there every game, you know, my buddy Johnny, who's there every game. I can name literally 200 people who are there every match. Like, we are not where we're at without those people. But a lot of those people look up to other people within supporters groups and within the structure of who has put blood, sweat, and tears into building this organization. And that blood, sweat, and tears, it gives you a voice. It gives you a platform. You deserve that platform. You've created that platform. You've built this club. But with that, you know, to quote one Uncle Ben, with great power comes great responsibility. And there is so much toxicity within our supporters groups because we have so many like-minded individuals agreeing or following or jumping on a bandwagon, whether good or bad or indifferent, that is starting to create a culture that in itself has become toxic. I see it. Like, I give my $20 to every damn supporters group there is. I'm a member of every one, but I'm involved in none. Partially because of work schedules and time and doing a damn podcast. It was my way to be a supporters group. Creating a Slack channel, talking with guys on a daily basis. There are 50 relationships that I've built through y'all that I wouldn't change for the world or wouldn't trade for the world, that were built on an organic nature, just the same about a club that we support, that we love, and that we follow. Just because I'm not negative all the damn time, just because ipso facto my face doesn't turn red after a draw at home versus Montreal, doesn't mean I don't care. I care equally as much, man. We all are like-minded individuals in some way, shape, or form, supporting the same cause, supporting the same goal. We want to win. We want to be the alpha. That's why the USL was so fun, because we bossed the league, because we owned, we were the big dog, and we came out of nowhere, and there was a feeling to that, a high to that, that nobody could touch, because it was organic. We created it. But at some point, you need to step back. At some point, you need to pause. You need to look yourself in the mirror, whether it's you, your neighbor, your best friend, and say, enough's enough, man. Like, either I'm here for the greater good or I'm not. And what you may be doing, you may honest to God think is the greater good. But when you have X amount of followers, when you are the leader, when you have become the alpha yourself, you have to understand that your voice carries weight. And what you say will sway the casual. It will sway the person that doesn't understand the game or that isn't as involved, because they see you as the alpha. And that voice resonates. And it's a very slippery slope. And the politics and the toxicity within our supporters groups, as great as they've been to this point, can also be the Achilles heel with a lot of the fan base. Take it for what it's worth. Judge it for what it's worth. Say I'm full of shit. I don't care. My Twitter handle is my name. I don't need a burner account to be Nathan Hale. It's that simple. Fix it. Get better. Look yourself in the mirror. And have conversations post-match. We're all for the same goal. We all care way too much about a damn soccer team in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, than we really need to. But I'll own it, and I love it, and I'll never change it. So that's my rant.
Well said. Very well said. And maybe think about why some people don't want to be part of your supporters group.
That's changed a lot in this past year, too, man. There's some pretty prominent individuals that are no longer affiliated with other groups. And I know nothing about that beyond just what I see from 100 feet away. But I can name four names off the top of my head. Again, step back. Be objective. You're smart people. We're smart people, I like to think, most of the time. we're all not without fault, but yeah, I mean, we just, I hate to see, and I feel it coming, and that's why I say what I say, and I could be completely wrong, right? This is my perspective, but I feel it coming that it just, it's not great. We're better than this. So that's it, man.
Well, you hit the 10 scale on the Vindaloo, so good job on the spice level. You did it.
Hear, hear. I mean, it's for somebody that's not as involved as they could be or should be to have a thought on it and actually voice it, man, there's some risk in that. And, you know, it's because I care. You can't come at me and say, I don't care. So I don't know, man. It's, I really don't have a way to end it other than the fact that Cincy till I die.
Let's get 3 in New England.
Hey, man, let's shock the world. Yop, Stom forever.
Yop, not Stom.
Bruce Arena, it's never.
Yop, it's Yop forever. Yeah, there you go. Hashtag
Yop forever. Yop forever. Yeah. Johan, maybe. So, all right, guys, I'm gonna go eat some La Rosa's. It just arrived. That's when my dogs were going nuts. Oh, thankfully, nice. I have a mute on the microphone now. So, nice. But appreciate you guys, Adam. Good time last night, Steven. Yep. I'm sure I'll see you soon. We got a game Saturday at New England, and then hell is real at 6:30 on a Friday. So the traveling fans have a headache with it trying to get to Columbus.
Hey, that's my shortest commute to a game all year, man.
That's you did that to yourself. That's not a good thing. Fucking MLS, man.
Well, I'll end my comments with a prost. And hey, if there are any females out there listening, join the Slack channel. Reach out to us. We want to hear your voices. If you know, if guys out there on Slack, if your girlfriend is a fan, if she stands next to you in the Bailey, get her on the Slack. We want to give voices to everybody. We want them to feel like they can talk about the club and learn about the club, because we want everybody to be invested in the club like we are. That's the point of all this.
Absolutely, man. Steven,
shout out the same.
Yep. Prost.
Yeah. Shout out the same. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Well, I'll say cheers. Cheers to Travis, man. We'll miss you, buddy. We'll finish on that note. If I was a betting man, which I can be, I give it 60 days. And he's itching to come back and just fire off. But you know, maybe he proves me wrong. So we'll leave it on that, guys. Cats by 90. Bearcats football around the corner. I don't think Xavier's football program is going to win a game this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. And, yeah, hopefully the Reds can finish this off. It's been a painful couple of days losing 2 or 3 to the Cubs. So appreciate everybody. Love everybody. As Steven says, travel safely. For those that are sending kids off to college, I was there once. We were all there once. So be safe, especially in 2021.
Prost.